Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, the title of our message is A Short But Sweet Sentence. Listen again to just a little bit of the gospel reading just read for you from John 6. Jesus said, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which I, the Son of Man, will give to you. For on him the Father hath set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent." I invite you to follow your sermon outlines. You'll find it on the handout that was given to you. Follow that sermon outline as we consider our theme, A Short But Sweet Sentence. Let me repeat that last verse, verse 29, because that's the short but sweet sentence to which the title refers. Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent." It's really a lot of fun in the study of literature or history to find a golden sentence, a short but sweet sentence that seems to sum up or define a famous person's life. Howard Roof, the famous financial advisor, said this, "Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark." Harry Truman, the 33rd president of the USA, said this about leadership: "If you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen." And Fred Bernard, the pioneer in advertising, you'll recognize this saying. This pioneer in advertising said, "A picture is worth a thousand words." And the Reverend Jesse Jackson, the social activist, said, "Never look down on someone unless you are helping them up." All of these memorable sentences, no matter how memorable they are, can't compare with the truth and beauty of some truly short but sweet sentences in Holy Scripture. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Romans 8:28, "In all things God works together for the good of those who love him." And in today's gospel reading from John 6, we find a truly short but sweet sentence. And the purpose of our sermon is to unpack this sentence for you. Listen again to this sentence. You probably have it memorized by now, I hope. "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent." So our sermon today has three parts about this sentence. And I want you to follow on your sermon outline more closely than usual this morning, because we're going to talk about a sentence with a question mark, an incomplete sentence, and a sentence with an exclamation point. The sentence with the question mark is this: "Do I get eternal life in heaven by faith or by good works?" The people in today's gospel reading in verse 28 asked Jesus, "What must we do?" Now, Jesus had just told them in verse 27, "Do not labor for eternal life. I will give it to you." Jesus had just explained that salvation is a gift of God to be received by humble faith. But the people couldn't accept that. They figured they must do something to earn it. And this natural human reasoning is alive and well today. So many, many people, even church people who should know better, get caught up in the idea, "I must do something to make God love me. I must do something to earn my salvation." It was true in Jesus' day as well. In Luke 18, one day a rich young ruler asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" In Acts chapter 2, the people just heard Peter's great Pentecost sermon, and they said, "Brethren, what must we do?" In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" And so on and so on. You see, the human mind seems to be flattered by the idea of doing something for God or being entitled to a reward because of the good deeds we do. But this is not the way of salvation. Many passages from Holy Scripture make this abundantly clear. No passage more clear than Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. "For by grace you were saved, through faith. It's a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." Salvation is God's gift that we receive by humble, trusting faith. Jesus said the same thing in today's gospel reading. And here comes that short but sweet sentence again. "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom God has sent." The issue is not, the issue is never, what can we do for God, but what God has done for us, what God has worked in us. God the Father, out of His love for the world, has sent Jesus, His Son, our Savior. And faith in Jesus is even the work of God in us. God gives us faith. God strengthens our faith. Faith is God's work, God's gift. It's not our good deed that we produce or we can be proud of. It's something that God works in our heart when we hear His holy word about Jesus. When the Philippian jailer asked Jesus, when the Philippian jailer asked Paul, "What must I do?" Paul said, basically, "Do nothing." His exact words were, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." My friends, right now is the time to really tune into this message, because here's some good news for you. The assurance of your salvation does not rest upon the good works you have done or hope to do. The assurance of your salvation rests firmly on the solid rock of what God has done. In number one, sending Jesus to be your Savior. And number two, creating faith in your heart as you hear that message about Jesus the Savior. This good news comes to you today in the sermon and at that altar of Holy Communion. God is here and God is at work through these means of grace to create and sustain faith in you. You know, these days, all around us, it makes no difference where you go, where you travel. City of Richmond streets, the highway to Kelowna we were last week, everywhere we go, road repair and road construction. When we used to live in Alberta, where it was 6 months of winter every year, the old newscaster used to say, "Well, here in Edmonton, we have two seasons, winter and road repair." Even around us today in a mild climate, everywhere we travel, we'll see road construction and road repair, and we see the sign, "Caution, men at work." Well, I have a suggestion for our congregation. In the entrance to this place of worship, we should place a sign with a slight variation of that message and make it read, "Caution, God at work." Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom God has sent." God is at work right now, creating and strengthening that faith in Jesus, Savior, in every heart, in every mind who's listening to God's Word today. Now, we're going to move from a sentence with a question mark to an incomplete sentence. And by the way, these next two sentences are much shorter. First, the sentence that's incomplete. Note your sermon outline, will you? Roman numeral 2. Human works. Dot, dot, dot. Human works. This is an incomplete sentence. Because if human works are the way to heaven, how can we ever be sure we have done enough? How many good deeds must we do to balance off the sin we have committed? How could you ever sleep at night wondering, if I died tonight, how can I be sure I've ever done enough good deeds to earn heaven? When Jesus was once asked if someone could get to heaven on the basis of good deeds, he basically said, well, sure, if your test score is 100%. His exact words in Matthew 5:48 were these: you must then be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. What good deeds are you or people around you today trusting in to make you right with God? Things like donations for charity, volunteer efforts for noble causes, being a nice neighbor, even church attendance. These are all nice things. But these things will never cover up our sins in the sight of a holy God. The prophet Isaiah put it this way: all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. Do good deeds because they are the right thing to do, but not to get right with God. Let me say that again. By all means, do good deeds because they're the right thing to do, but not to get right with God. Depending on good deeds to make you right with God makes your life like an incomplete sentence without assurance of how that sentence will end. This brings us to our final point. Jesus is our assurance. Here's the last of our three sentences, a sentence with an exclamation point. Here's the sentence: put that on my account. I'll explain more in just a moment. Again, as you've heard me say a half a dozen times, Jesus' short but sweet sentence in our gospel reading is this: this is the work. Why don't you say it with me? This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom God has sent. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Well, now we're going to connect it with that third sentence. Put that on my account. And here we go. Put that on my account can be considered the theme of the shortest, but probably one of the sweetest books in the entire Bible. The shortest book in the Bible is 25 verses, the New Testament book of Philemon. Philemon was a rich man who lived in the city of Colossae, to which the letter to the Colossians was written. One day, this man's servant, named Onesimus, robbed him and ran away with the loot. Now, the Roman law was very clear on such matters. A slave who stole would be put to death when he was caught. And he ran away to Rome, the exciting city, to live the high life. But God had his eyes upon this runaway thief. And soon, Onesimus was arrested and was put into prison. And how do we know? Because there in prison, he met St. Paul, who was in prison soon to be executed because of his fearless gospel ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God was at work. Here we go again. As St. Paul proclaimed the good news of Jesus to Onesimus, his prison mate. And God worked faith in this man's heart. He confessed to Paul his wrongdoings. Paul loved him as a dear son in the Lord. And then Paul wrote a letter. Paul wrote a letter to this rich man, Philemon, who was a member of the Colossian church. Paul pleads his case. He pleads for Onesimus and he says to Philemon, all that he owes you, put on my account. That is, I will pay everything that he's stolen. Please forgive his trespass and set him free. Now, right now, just listen to a few short verses from this short but sweet book. Go home today. It'll take you maybe 5 minutes to read Philemon. Listen to this book. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker in the Lord, I appeal to you on the basis of love as Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner for the sake of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son in the faith in chains. I am now sending him back to you, no longer as a slave, but as your dear brother. If he has done anything wrong or owes you anything, I, Paul, will pay it back. Now, even though this is an historic letter and a true event, this brief letter of Paul to Philemon can be seen as a parable of our relationship with God. Philemon plays the part of God the Father. Paul plays the role of Jesus. Onesimus plays the role of you and me, because we have wronged Almighty God. We have stolen from Him the obedience due to Him. We have sinned. We have rebelled. We have run from Him. We cannot pay back what we have done. Because of our sin, we are fit for a prison called hell. But then Jesus goes to the Father on your behalf. He tells the Father that, yes, you are guilty. Yes, you deserve punishment. Yes, you cannot pay for what you've done. But then he says, Father, this sinner has confessed his sin. This sinner, she has put her faith in me. She is a new person. I ask you, Father, now to charge to my account all that he or she has done. Put it on my account. On the cross, I have paid their price. No longer hold them accountable for their sin. Father, put it all on my account. Wow. As St. Paul did for Onesimus, so Jesus has done for you and me. Amazing. Amazing grace. So let me ask you a question. So now, what do you need to do? Let me ask you again. What do you need to do? Do? Have you been listening to my sermon? Of course you have. To quote what must be my favorite phrase from any Christian hymn. It's Rock of Ages, by the way. Listen to verse 3. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. With a free and joyous heart, we simply trust Jesus and realize that even that trust is a gift of God to you. Again, Jesus' short but sweet sentence. Say it with me, phrase after phrase. This is the work of God.
This is the work of God.
That you believe in Him.
That you believe in Him.
Whom God has sent.
Whom God has sent.
It doesn't get much sweeter than that. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We now worship our Lord with His offering.